Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And welcome to Reality TV Wrap-Ups. My name is Mike Bloom, bringing some new coverage to Reality TV Wrap-Ups, Dancing with the Stars, now in its 24th season. But of course, in true ballroom fashion, I am not alone. You never dance alone in ballroom. I am joined by two fantastic guests and two big fans of Dancing with the Stars in their own right. First, let me introduce and welcome into the RHAP universe, Kelly Bedard. Kelly, welcome.
Thank you so much. How's it going, Mike?
It's going pretty well. I'm excited to learn so much from you and from our other guest about what's to come with Dancing with the Stars. And the person that will be joining us as well and for future coverage moving on is, I guess I'd call her my personal dance partner for going on 7 years. You just heard her pipe in right there. You may know her from her appearances on The Bachelor podcast or on Jordan Parhar's Lovecast. I know her from our wedding. It's my wife, Angela. Angela,
hey.
Angela, how you doing?
I'm good.
All right, so we are here talking about ABC's Dancing with the Stars. The 24th season is premiering in a couple of weeks from now. Very, very exciting. I feel like it's been like a staple of ABC reality television, just in the same realm as the Bachelor franchise. But I would love to hear from both of you, starting off. You want to give some background to yourself, especially you, Kelly, being new to the RHAP universe. But I'd love to hear from you both when you started watching Dancing with the Stars and what has kept you around for so many seasons. Kelly, we'll start with you.
So I'm actually a television critic I work for myentertainmentworld.ca. And so I try and keep up with, especially our staff is always fighting over like the big dramas and the sort of hit shows. And so I end up covering a lot of the things that people don't want to watch as much because I enjoy some of them. And Dancing with the Stars is definitely one of those shows that I've tuned into just to make sure that we're covering the whole landscape. And then it ends up being, I'm sure, as you know, incredibly addictive. And I sort of get really caught up with the storylines and the characters. I watch basically at this point, I watch for the pros. I mostly have never even heard of the people who are dancing, other than obviously the like beautiful highlight of the world when Nick Carter was competing. But for the most part, it was beautiful. And then I was rooting against it. It was all a whole personal drama. I love the pros, and I love seeing them sort of develop over multiple seasons. I'm waiting for Sharna to win that mirror ball finally. And so that's why I tune in sort of sporadically every once in a while. The last few seasons I've watched in a row because I've really gotten addicted, but I sort of have dipped in and out over the past, like, how long has it been going now? 10 years? 20 years? Something? 20 seasons? 24?
Yeah, it's the 24th season, so like I guess what is that, like 10 years? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. I know they've done the voice thing for a while, where they do two seasons every year. Which, you know, I'm gonna sort of set this off at the top, saying that I am very much a Dancing with the Stars casual, and we're sort of using this podcast for me to host this preview, but also to sort of unofficially pass the torch off to Kelly and Angela to officially do coverage moving forward.
Yeah.
But it's tough to keep up when you're doing. You know, I can deal with two Survivor seasons a year, but that's pretty much it. Even The Voice, I have tough catching up with.
Yeah, there's a lot of episodes too. So I
used to love The Voice, but then they programmed it like every day of the week, and so I had to stop.
Yeah, I actually, before recording this, I actually just saw a commercial for The Voice while watching SNL that said it's going to be on three nights this week.
That's
60% of this week's lineup on NBC is pretty much The Voice, which is insane. I know that Dancing with the Stars at one point scaled it back to one day a week, right?
Thank goodness, because I feel like that's where I fell off the map. Yeah,
certainly. It's much more manageable.
Are they going back to two, or are they just sticking with one?
I couldn't tell you.
I think it's just one. I hope it's just one. They certainly, the last couple seasons, they've been starting the season with two episodes for the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, and like the second one is always super light. Like it's like always like either a results show or like they bring in like Demi Lovato to sing and like the pros will dance like in their troupe and it'll be great. And then it's just a little light hour of just fun. But yeah, I mean, I guess that segues into my background. So I have been watching Dancing with the Stars since it started. I mean, I was in high school when it started, so it was like perfect show to watch with your parents, you know, who don't like reality television. You know, my mom was all about it. And I was a dancer in you know, since I was like 3 years old. I did like tap, jazz, ballet, all that jazz. but yeah, so I did all of that. And I mean, even through college was a dancer, just, you know, like my entire life just fell into that. So I felt like it was a good way for us to just sort of watch reality TV without actually being, my mom was always like, I hate the drama. She wouldn't watch America's Next Top Model with me because it was too like, it was too sassy and everyone was too mean to each other. So this was great. Plus my aunt and my grandma who are on my mom's side are also huge fans of the show. So it was always like, my grandmother would email us every Tuesday morning her thoughts, which was just always like, I love Derek, 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 Derek. So, like, my grandmother is obsessed with Derek. I'm sure she's not watching this season in protest.
Who isn't?
yeah, of course. Yeah, he's great. But it's like grandmas are, like, all about him. But, yeah, so I have, you know, like, my own background in dance and then my own background in watching the show. But I would say over the last couple of years, I definitely have fallen off a little bit more. And I got back into it again, like the last two seasons, more so just the pros that were on it. Like you're right. The people who are celebs on it are definitely not worth watching. But yeah, I mean, it's a great show to just sort of, you can dip in and out of. So I'm sure Mike will be able to follow along, you know, with our coverage as well as just, you know, get some nice ballroom tips out of it.
Yes.
Maybe we'll
Did you ever do ballroom?
No.
No. Nope.
I used to take it with my grandmother, actually, the one that watches the show, is like, she's 94 now, but she was a ballroom dancer after, you know, becoming like after retiring from being a nurse, like she has like a club. They used
you know,
to go
as
on.
You do.
She's crazy though. She like goes on cruises with her ballroom dance group and like all this stuff. Wow. So it's like hilarious. But yeah, so she used to like teach us things. And
did you guys do the like the standard go? I don't know. No. I just learned it's standard from movies where before your wedding you have to go.
Oh
and take
yeah,
classes.
No, we didn't do that. No.
See, yeah, we're both like theatrically trained enough that we could.
Yeah,
we know the basic facets of like rhythm and timing of that movement.
And a basic waltz is like we can do that.
And,
like,
and the song that we danced to at our wedding didn't even necessitate a waltz. We weren't dancing to like the 3-4 minuet or something.
Well, no, we should have.
We should. That would have turned some heads. Definitely. Yeah. Oh, it's interesting that you both say that. Like at this point, and maybe it's just because you're such, you know, committed fans at this point that the pros are really what bring you in. Because I guess from my perspective as the more the casual fan, I think for me it's the celebs that bring me in. And I don't know how this group of celebs compares to the rest. I feel like there are some more names, at least ones that I recognize without having to do research more than previous seasons. I mean, maybe it's because I'm also, you know, I've covered Celebrity Apprentice. I'm usually into these types of shows that bring on these C or D list celebrities. So that's the part that excites me.
C or D is like the key there. I mean, it's never anybody... You know, never anybody like top of the list because it's a huge commitment. You have to take a lot of time to do it. So anyone that has any other, you know, things going on in their lives tend to fall off pretty early because they're traveling to and from the West Coast for rehearsals every day. And it's like 7 hours a day. And then they're going to their actual shoots. And it's like they usually fall off pretty early because they can't deal with like the schedule. But I will say, I mean, it's always... In my opinion, even since the beginning, the pros like are hilarious. They're super funny. They're also super talented. And you also sort of get involved in their like inter-competition. So they're very competitive with one another and they like will butt their celebs up against each other. And it's pretty funny. But I mean, yeah, after you watch for a couple seasons, you're into certain pros and certain pros you like don't really care about. But they're still great to watch. So
Oh, I was just going to say it's fun because, it's obviously right there, but the more you watch it, the more you get to know things like, you know, Lindsay and Whitney are best friends since childhood. And like Derek and Mark were always fun to watch together, although they're not on this season. And this season you have an interesting dynamic in not only do you have brothers Max and Val competing with each other, but you also have PETA, who is Max's, I think they're not married yet. I think he's her fiance. Yeah. And they just had a baby.
Yeah, I was going to say baby mama, I guess would be the proper
her
yeah.
sort of like in the zeitgeist conversation about like post baby body and stuff like that. So
yeah,
she's
absolutely.
Like all over the news right now as well.
And Sasha and Emma got engaged on the show last year. So there's all these interpersonal dynamics happening amongst the pros. Another
it's
one
like,
that
like,
I think...
It's like Dancing with Degrassi.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Oh, it totally is. And like things like Keo, I don't know if you watched the season where he partnered Jodie Sweetin.
Oh, I
but
did.
But there was a whole... Oh, of course. So there was like a whole backlash where everyone was like, he just didn't do a very good job. And then in Switch Up Week, when she was partnered with Val, he worked her harder. And all of a sudden, she was a much better dancer. So I feel like he's kind of... like not very well respected among the other pros, so I'm very interested to see him back because I feel like it's very tense between him and some of the other people, and there's just so much happening.
And that's how it was with Emma when she first came on, because like she was given Bill, and she ended up like, and now her thing is like she's just given the older man, and it's sort of like a little unfair in that sense. And at least this year she's been given like somebody with hopefully some kind of dance ability, so
yeah, well, that's, I think, very interesting to watch is the way that the producers, personally, they pick favorites among the pros and then assign them, like, Max.
Sure.
I think they think is good for ratings, and so they only give him people who are going to win, whereas Emma, they give, this is the first year she's had a contender, as you say.
Yeah.
Keo's never had a contender.
He always has the older woman.
I remember him too, but I don't remember his name.
I forget who it is now, but it's just like, yeah, everyone, I feel like they definitely like they pick and choose. I mean, I think they also know who's dramatic and who's not dramatic. So like, if you don't give Derek somebody that he can win with, like he's quitting, you know?
Exactly. Like he almost quit with Mary Lou Henner because she was the first person who wasn't amazing. And if you look at who Max has this year, it's clearly Max will not come back unless you give him someone who has a real shot at winning. Cause he had Amber Rose last year, but which was sort of a disaster, but now she's dating Val. So it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. She was also like one of those people that expected to be better than they were.
Well,
yes,
this
exactly.
This is actually a perfect segue into talking about some of these pros that may be appearing on this season to really, I guess, break down the teams that are going to be on, both the pros that we know partnered up with the celebrities that really run the gamut in both career paths and perhaps athletic ability, and that might be a determining factor. So we're going to preview each of these teams, figure out who they are outside of the show and what chances they might stand in doing well in this competition. Let's start off with someone who... I wouldn't say is a recent news getter, but someone who's definitely been in the news in the past, you know, 8 months or so. The second member of the Final Five in a row to be on Dancing with the Stars, Simone Biles, an Olympic gymnast, partnered with Sasha Farber. Angela, give me your thoughts. What are you thinking about Simone and Sasha together?
Well, I love Simone. She's great. I think that this is a perfect casting because, first of all, she's a great dancer, I'm sure. But I also love that she's with Sasha because she's so tiny, and I think this is just going to be like optically really amazing. But he's also been partnered with some smaller people in the past. Like he had Snooki, and he's like, he's good. I would say he's not one of the most notable Dancing with the Stars professionals, but he's always like just there. He's always present. He's always dedicated, and he's clearly talented. So I think that his personality is just a little bit less outrageous than someone like Maxim, but he, I think that him and Simone will do really well. So I'm excited to see Simone. I think that she's going to be one of those people that, like, if she makes it, and I imagine she will make it pretty far, if she can make it to freestyle, that's going to be great. If she can, you know, really, like, get down the moves, she'll be, you know, an unstoppable force. So I'm excited about her, but I do sort of wonder, you know, sometimes with these gymnasts, like they're very rigid in their movement. So, you know, she's obviously flexible and can do like cool tricks and stuff like that. But I hope that, you know, she can sort of let go of some of that like rigidity so she can become a little bit more fluid.
Kelly, do you think that there's a chance we could have two gymnasts win in a row? Or do you think Simone might have a little bit of a mark against her from the crowd, considering that we just had a gymnast win so short ago?
Well, I think there are a couple factors happening there. On one hand, you have the pro dynamic. I don't really know what the audience breakdown in terms of who's voting and why is on Dancing with the Stars, but certainly you have to figure that at least some of the audience is voting based on their favorite pro. And the bump you're going to get from working with Val, and not only just working with Val, but work like really bringing out the best in Val, like Lori did last year, versus someone who's not quite as popular, like Sasha, I feel like that's a little bit of a disadvantage. But Simone's also on a season that is stacked with people who have like a lot of dance training, and we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yep.
but this is not a weak field, and I think she's, you know, a penciler in for at least top four, probably the finals.
Yeah,
but
I don't
know that it's a slam dunk. Although I will say about Sasha, I never it took me a while to warm up to him. I love, you know, I love Emma, so the fact that she loves him sort of gave him a bit of an endorsement. But I didn't really come around, right? I didn't really come around on him until last year because I thought he was incredible with Tara Jolie. In the same way that when PETA did the choreography for Niles, who was the the deaf winner. Anytime someone who's working with someone who has some sort of disability or is at a disadvantage somehow and they have to really tailor the choreography to them, I find that really impressive. So coming off of a season where he did like shockingly well, like they were in the top five,
yeah,
Tara and
really
Sasha.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm very impressed with Sasha now. But here's a question for you guys.
Sorry, go ahead.
I didn't watch a lot of the gymnastics during the Olympics. To me, Simone seems like a slightly bigger star than Lori. Is that right?
Agreed.
I think she also might have a little bit more of a personality than Lori Hernandez. I do, you know, I didn't follow the Olympics as closely either, but I do feel like the name to talk about was Simone Biles. I mean, Simone Biles, I think by metrics alone, is the most decorated American gymnast ever, meaning she has won the most medals out of any American gymnast.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like she's been the bigger name coming out of Rio than someone like Lori, even though they were veritably on the same
team.
Yeah,
she's America's sweetheart. So, I mean, from watching the news at the time and just sort of following it afterwards as well. Like, I would say that she has a bigger social media presence than Lori as well. So she was constantly on social media and stuff like that. And she would, you know, she would definitely, like, there's a meme with her and Zac Efron where, like, she got to meet Zac Efron and because he really wanted to, like, say hi to her at an event. And she was, like, so girly about it that it became just so cute and funny. So I think people just really fell in love with her. Whereas Lori, you know, she's so young and she was really talented and all that. But it just sort of stopped after the Olympics. And then she immediately went into Dancing with the Stars. So it was like, you know, that was more her focus. Whereas with Simone, it was just more like run-of-the-mill news stuff.
Well, I feel like almost every Dancing with the Stars season has at least one of these who picks someone who I think the general populace is probably not that knowledgeable of. Granted, this next individual might be known in a small pocket of the community, but at least I don't think any of us really knew who this guy was coming in. Bonner Bolton, a professional bull rider and model. Fun fact, I should mention, he was Scott Eastwood's double in The Longest Ride, which I know, Angela, you watched that on our in-flight movie on our plane ride to our honeymoon.
I did, and so. I was like, oh, I wish you were Scott Eastwood. Sorry. Sorry.
But we actually have seen Bonner Bolton without even realizing it. Partnered with Sharna Burgess. Kelly, give me your thoughts on Bonner and Sharna coming in.
Okay, so first of all, Sharna's my favorite female pro by miles and miles. I love her. I think she's, one, incredibly talented, and two, really fierce and fun and brings out the best in her partners. And coming off of last season where she had James Hinchcliffe, I think that it's such a testament to what can come out of the guy who everybody says, who the heck is that? Because nobody knew Hinchcliffe going into last season, and he turned out to be amazing. He was a great dancer. He was incredibly charming. He's one of the breakaway stars of the season. And Sharna has a real ability to pull out the personality of her partner. She was also amazing with Antonio Brown the year before. So I kind of think Bonner seems a little bit dim, like not the most interesting guy. So I would expect, I mean, this is a pessimistic view, but I'm going to call them as like middle of the pack this year. I don't think this is Sharna's year yet again.
So what I found interesting in my research of Bonner is that he actually had a really bad accident in the beginning of last year that gave him a pretty massive head injury. Now, theoretically, if we're talking about the sob story aspects of Bonner, that could be something that maybe puts him out of the woodwork and at least might garner him some sympathy. Angela, do you agree with that?
I would, yeah. So they never are super heavy on the sob stories on Dancing with the Stars until later in the season. You know, then they pull out the, why are you choreographing this dance? Or like, what's your biggest memory and let's choreograph a dance on that. And it's always like, oh, I'm doing this for my daughter, for my husband, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like with Bonner, I don't know how he's going to appear on television. He might be the most charismatic.
He's going to appeal very good on television from a visual aspect.
Oh, yeah. No, he's attractive. But, I mean, I guess my question is, like, is he going to be able to, like, be on a reality television show? Is his personality? I just have no basis for that. So I wonder if, like, for Sharna, like, it could be, you know, it could go either way. He could be a total flop or he could be really charismatic. And then, you know, bringing the head injury back into it, I have trouble remembering dance moves, and I have a completely fine brain. So I wonder, you know, if that's going to be a struggle for him, because not only are these just like there's a lot of complexities to ballroom dance. And I mean, just from watching the show in general, you know, Carrie Ann is going to be like up his butt about, you know, keeping his head back and the tilt. And he does have it better because he's a man, you know, it's a little bit easier to remain just sort of, the rigidity in ballroom dance is a little easier on the man side. So I think, I mean, it could go either way. He could be a hot mess or he could be great. So I'm excited to see. I have no idea who he is. And yeah, that's actually kind of fun, because I do feel like, you know, the next person coming up is going to be just we know it's going to be a disaster.
Yes. Perfect segue into someone that I personally am very excited to see.
Love her.
On Dancing with the Stars. Though, as Angela said, maybe probably in not the best capacity in that I'm necessarily rooting for her success. The one and only 75-year-old Charo is back on our TV screen.
Goody, goody.
Okay, yes, so you got guys, the key catchphrase.
So you guys know her. We're all about the same age, and I have absolutely no clue about Charo.
Well, so this is definitely I feel like this is like an American zeitgeist thing. Yeah. So both of our parents grew up in the 70s. Like, she was a 70s hot person.
Yeah, she was everywhere.
She was everywhere. She was on Laugh-In. She was on The Love Boat. She was on Hollywood Squares. So she was on all these things that were just like in the TV world at the time. And I mean, she is an actress, she's a singer, she has this like catchphrase, like everyone loved her just more as like she was like the Kim Kardashian of her time, you know. Everyone was like like they loved her but they hated her, like she was crazy, but it was like, oh, Charo.
Is she actually a good singer?
She's a Spanish-American actress, so she's like, it's Spanish music,
like, oh yeah, if you put like a flamenco guitar in front of her, she kills it. She might most recently be known for, she was on, I believe, the third season of The Surreal Life, which was the big Flavor Flav Bridget Nielsen season. So that's how, you know, I got to at least see her on my screen in the 2000s.
And I don't know, Kelly, if you have you ever seen Thumbelina, the like the cartoon animated movie from the 80s? Okay, so she is the mom frog in Thumbelina.
Okay.
So, like, and because it came out at the time, like, she was so in the zeitgeist and so in popular culture that they made her, like, that frog is based off her. Like, it's not, like, just a Spanish frog. And, like, so it sings like her, it talks like her, it has the same catchphrase as her. And Thumbelina, like, gets stuck with the frogs and she wants to marry her son frog off to Thumbelina because she's so tiny and... but yeah, so that's a basis for you to go off of. That's Charo.
Well, let's see if Charo is as mobile as a frog.
She looks quite short to me, though. Is she quite
She's
short?
Tiny.
Because
She's
Keo,
tiny.
I believe, is the tallest pro. So that'll be interesting. Yeah, and he's struggled in the past when he's had switch up week with someone who's really short, and he's adjusted his hold, and the judges did not like that. So we shall see how they fare together.
I mean, Angela, you probably seem the most knowledgeable out of all of us of Choro's work. Do you think she actually stands a chance in this competition, or does she have first boot written all over her?
I don't think she has first boot, because the people that are watching this show and that are voting on this show are going to love Choro, because that's their age group. Like, they know Choro. Like, my grandma is going to be like, oh, Choro. Like, I love her. Like, yeah. And because Derek's not on, like, who's grandma going to vote for? You know, so, and I don't think Keo has a bad reputation with, like, America. I don't think America cares. I think they think he's nice and he's like a nice dancer. So I don't know if she has first boot, depending on how she has fared. You know, she's 75. So depending on how she fares through, you know, the first dance, I think that'll give us a good idea of if she can go the, you know, go a little bit further. But I mean, she's not lasting long. She's 75. She's the older woman who's just doing this for fun.
You know, I think if she's really fun and enjoying herself and really charismatic, she's probably second or third boot would probably be what I'd say.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I'll certainly have a lot of fun watching her no matter how she performs, because she's also probably going to make a lot of sound bites and fun scenes happen no matter what.
She's fun.
So let's move on to somebody that maybe might cause some more drama than somebody like Charo. And I only mean that because she is a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star and knows her way around drama. Erica Jane partnered with Gleb. Is that how you say his name?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's an accurate representation of his personality. Glub.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. He's so dull.
So dull.
Do you think this was a good pairing then? Because I admittedly have not seen Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I feel like between her and Kyle Richards, we're seeing more and more of them on our screens as the shows pass on. But do you think it's proper pairing on their part, Kelly, to put someone who comes from a dramatic background with someone who might have a little bit more of a milquetoast personality?
Well, Gleb's whole thing is that he's quote-unquote the sexy one, because Dancing with the Stars likes to redefine what that is, apparently. But see, he's...
So true.
He's monosyllabic, but he's really intense, and he's really... Him and his partner last year, Jana Kramer, they actually had really good chemistry, and they were just the hot couple. They did all the, like, overtly sexy routines. Everything seemed to be a rumba when it wasn't a Roomba, and that's Gleb's whole thing. So depending on, I don't know a lot about Erica Jane, but I know there are certainly some of the Real Housewives do pride themselves on their sex appeal, and they're like, maybe even though they're a little bit older, they tend to be a little bit more overt, and so that might be the direction they take this. Lots of like wet shirt dancing.
Oh, Angela, I think Erica Jane, outside of her Real Housewives stardom, is known for, I guess, being a previous pop star. She put out a lot of dance pop music. Do you think that might transcend into the dance floor? I don't know what her personal dancing experience is, but you have to feel sometimes if you're creating the style of music that makes people dance, maybe you know a couple things about dancing.
Yeah, I don't know diddly squat about Erica Jane. I don't watch any of the Housewives. I don't, apart from like any clips that appear on the news, like I don't have, apart from that and like the research I did for this, you know, I know that's about all I know. So, I mean, I imagine if she was a pop star, what, in the early 2000s, that she may or may not have even sung those things herself. So I feel like...
How dare you? Roller Coaster is a masterpiece of a song, as is her newest hit, How Many Fucks, and that is actually the title of her newest song.
No, so yeah, she's just like, she clearly wants to be on TV, so I mean, maybe she can dance, maybe she can't dance. I imagine if she likes music, that's not a bad thing. I don't think her and Gleb are going to get along. I think that he's going to hate her because she seems like somebody who is just all about like having fun and being on reality TV, whereas he is so serious and he just wants somebody who is like dedicated to the process. So I mean, that's a generalization, and I don't know, obviously I don't know her, so I don't know her personal actual feelings about the show, but I mean, just based off of her background in general, I don't know if they're gonna get along super well, and that's always key for people to go far.
Yeah, and we'll also see. I don't know how big the, you know, Housewives backing audience might be. I know Andy Cohen, like, on the day of the cast release, I know, like, Andy Cohen tweeted his support for Erica Jane, since I know he has a personal stake in those types of shows. So we'll see. Maybe, you know.
Well, if Andy Cohen says, I mean, come on.
They've got the Cohen bump.
The Cohen bump.
The Cohen bump.
Oh, wow. Gosh.
That's also known as how large my stomach gets after I eat my aunt's matzo ball soup, the Cohen bump.
I was like, I say, what Jewish joke is he going to make right now?
You know me way too
well. Happy Purim. I'm so bad.
You're good. I think that it's the thought that counts. So let's move on to another subject that I might not know too much about. The NFL, and an NFL running back by the name of Rashad Jennings, a guy who played, I guess, most recently with the Giants for a few years. He retired last year, and he's partnered up with Emma Slater. Kelly, give me your thoughts on Rashad and Emma here.
Haven't the slightest. I mean, I love Emma, but... In the most recent years, I mean, I liked Megatron, and I loved Antonio Brown. Vaughn Mills was pretty boring. I never come into the season knowing anything about the football player that they cast. But historically, they've been pretty good compared to one of the athletes we're going to talk about in a little bit. Football players have a bit more versatility, and they're known for their footwork. That sort of thing. So they tend to be a little bit lighter on their feet than other athletes. So historically, they've done decently well, usually finishing around like sixth or seventh. But I don't know anything about Rashad Jennings specifically. I'm just really excited to see Emma get not necessarily a leading contender, especially in this really stacked season, but not a first boot. Like every year she's assigned the Emma. Joke with Emma is that she's assigned the really old guy or like a kid who's 16 and she can't do the rumba.
It's just so funny to me because I feel like with Emma, when she came on the scene, so I didn't really know much about her when she first came on, and I was like, that was her first season was with Bill. So I felt like she did so well with him when everyone expected him to be a first boot that was really impressive. So I agree that I'm glad that she's with somebody who could feasibly be good. Whether or not that person is good, we will see.
Yeah. I mean, he has, I guess, the skills walking in. I mean, as you said, I do feel like especially football players and especially running backs who essentially, you know, their entire game in football is to just run around. I mean, he has stamina. He's able to be quick on his feet. He knows footwork very well and is able to be precise with that. So I feel like he has the skill set going in. I don't know how much he can carry on just that without any sort of magnanimous personality. If he turns out to be a total bore, that might only put him at the middle of the pack, but I feel like he might be one of the stronger contenders by pure skill set coming in.
And he only just retired from football. So
that's
it's
true.
Not like he's one of these. There in the past have been football players who retired like 6 or 7 years ago and like have been like whatever you do after you are retired, like play golf. I don't know.
Like, you do those like erectile dysfunction commercials.
Yeah,
I'm
you
pretty
really
sure.
Do. But Emma has such a good personality. I wonder if it won't even matter if he doesn't have a good personality because she's just so likable. She can make anyone look good.
We talk about how it's a really strong field, but it's actually not that strong a field for men. So depending on how the audience votes and if there are certain people who do vote for maybe one man and one woman every week, I think a lot of the women seem like top contenders, but the men are pretty weak this year. So he could be a top male contender.
Perfect segue into someone who may not be a male contender, but someone that I'm very excited to see back on my TV screen. Chris Kattan and previous winner Whitney Carson. Angela, give me your thoughts on how Mr. Peepers might do on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, so I mean, I love Chris Kattan. He's great. But I mean, Whitney is amazing. She has won before. She's had some really rough, some really rough people to work with, you know, and she's made them look all right. Like Chris Soules is a terrible dancer. He is just like so heavy on his feet. He doesn't have any ability to like go with his rhythm was just so bad when he came in there, and she made him look like he was like all right, you know, before he got kicked off. Like I think he was like maybe like fifth or something, but he wasn't terrible, and that's like all Whitney. Like he didn't have ballroom dancing, like, and that's not his future career. He's a farmer. So I mean, I think that Whitney has the ability to make Chris look at Kattan look okay. So I wonder, you know, what his back, I have no idea if he has any background in movement. I mean, he's clearly a well-known actor and comedian, so I wonder if he's ever like taken a lesson, or, you know, I'm sure that he, and from what I remember, he's not super heavy on his feet. I could imagine him, if with the proper professional, maybe he'll make it to like five Like, maybe.
All right, Kelly, what do we think the chances are that at some point on his time at Dancing with the Stars, Chris Kattan has to dance to the song from A Night at the Roxbury?
Oh, for sure. What is love?
Absolutely. They'll put that early in the season if he's like...
That's going to be his like walk-in music.
Oh, absolutely. Every single year, they make them pander to whatever it is that they're known for. You know, if you were on a sitcom, yeah, you better believe they're going to rebuild that sitcom set for you. Like, everybody has to do their thing. I don't know. There's something in the back of my head that's saying Chris Kattan is not going to be that bad. I think he is probably going to be relatively light on his feet, and it's going to come down to whether or not he has any rhythm. And there's something in some of those characters he's played that to me suggests he's got maybe a little bit of hip movement going. And
oh yeah, that's all mango right there.
Right? So I don't know. I feel like he could maybe be a surprise. You never know. There's always somebody who comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, and I wonder if I think also just something to note is that it's always about dedication in these instances. So if he's there just to, like, you know, like...
Oh, yeah,
I have a hunch
Chris Kattan does not have any other things going on at the moment.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, if he's there just to, like, have fun and get a paycheck, then he's not going to do well. But if he's there to, like, I don't know, like, really commit to something and, like, have a, like, good time and, like... Like, you know how people in the past have committed just because they want to lose weight or whatever, you know, so then he could do really well too. But if he's like kind of goofing off about it, it could be touch and go.
But he's got Whitney, and Whitney's known as the Barbie drill sergeant, right? Like, I don't know that she's going to let you totally goof off. If he has the potential to be a winner, she's going to make him, maybe not a winner in this field, but she's going to make him a finalist if he has any potential at all.
And she's super competitive from what I remember, so she wants to win. So I think that...
And she did badly the last few seasons, which is going to really spur her on.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that she's, you know, in it to win it for this as well.
Well, let's see if Chris can make it past the first boot or to title the show that he makes such a number of appearances on, if he'll make it to the middle. Moving on, let's talk about someone, a little bit of a blast from the past, considering that I think her most momentous impact on pop culture came more than 20 years ago. But Nancy Kerrigan is back on TV, here to dance our hearts out. Kelly, give me your thoughts on Nancy Kerrigan and Artem.
Okay, so first of all, she's going to be great. I think she's going to be really, really good. She's going to be sort of combination of, what's the woman's name from Dirty Dancing? She
Jennifer
won a few
Garner.
Years ago. Yes. So she won a few years ago with Derek. And I think she's going to be a combination of her and then a lot of the figure skaters have done really, really well. But I think Nancy Kerrigan is, I think they're calling their shot a little bit because there is a movie in development, or maybe not in development,
this is what I wanted to talk about here.
Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie plays, is she playing
Tanya
Harding?
Harding? She plays Tanya Harding, for
sure.
Yeah,
which is insane casting. If you look at the photos, she looks crazy.
They're the same
crazy.
Like reincarnation, but she's not dead.
But so I think they're calling their shot a little bit in terms of like what's the next big 90s sort of cultural phenomenon that's going to hit the way that maybe OJ versus
I was going to say what's the next OJ Simpson?
They missed out on having Marsha Clark on Dancing with the Stars. It was her year last year.
It was.
Hey, she was at the Emmys. So
yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
They send out these invitations, you know, far and wide. Famously, Hillary Clinton turned down a spot this year. So they ask tons and tons of people. Yep. I would not be surprised to find out that they've offered it to Marsha Clark or to the guy who lived in the pool house. He's a perfect
Dancing with the Stars contestant. Oh, Cato Kaelin would have been amazing on Dancing with the Stars.
Even the actor that played Cato Kaelin on...
Oh, yeah, Billy Magnuson?
Yeah, he was amazing. I'm excited for Nancy Kerrigan, for sure.
Me too. Well, I think she's going to be good. And Artem's really intense. And he had the crazy Brady Bunch girl last year. But if you give him someone who's good, I remember him from the first season of So You Think You Can Dance. And he's a really good dancer. And you find he's the someone, if the judges think that someone, if someone has a female pro and a male star, and the judges say, I think you should work with someone from the troupe to sort of improve your, because you need a male pro to help you with your frame or something, they used to always recommend Artem. I think technique-wise, he's a step ahead of a lot of them. So I think that he's really strong, and if given a real contender, he could do really well.
Yeah, and he's been given some real bummers in the past, notably Misha Barton. That was really hard to watch.
And he's not a very patient guy. So he's not particularly good with the bad contestants. So if So if Nancy Kerrigan brings that sort of like Olympian drive with her, I think she can really unlock Artem's potential to be a top tier pro.
Angela, what do you think the chances are that Oksana Bayul enters the competition halfway through and steals the gold out from Nancy Kerrigan?
Oh my God, so funny. I'm just dying to hear like the Dancing with the Stars opinion on the Tonya Harding Nancy Kerrigan.
Oh, I'm sure. I can imagine they pan over into the audience in the first show and Jeff Galooly is sitting there. He's ready to hop up on the stage.
Will they do one of those dances where they like do their backstory and like someone comes out with a hammer and hits her in the middle of the thing? You know,
I
just can't wait. The take is gonna be so Disney. It's going to be such a Disney World handle on the most like outrageous like controversy from the 90s, and it's just going to be terrible and amazing.
Yeah.
It should also be noteworthy that, you know, after her second place finish in the 94 Olympics, she did not just winnow out and die. I mean, Nancy Kerrigan has been skating. She's relegated herself to ice shows like Broadway on Ice and, interestingly enough, Footloose on Ice. I don't know how that's done on ice, but is it like...
It's done how you think it is.
But is it like, there's no skating in this town?
No, there's no dancing. It's like the skates are their feet.
The others are just walking around.
Have you never seen anything on ice before?
I've never seen a specific property on ice. I'm not going to see like...
Like, have you been to Disney on ice?
I've not been to Disney
on ice. They just basically pretend that they're on their feet and they're just like, when they dance, like, it's just more graceful and ice dancy.
It just seems weird that like, I don't know, like, I'm not going to go see like Die Hard on ice anytime soon.
Oh my God, Die Hard on ice.
I think I just accidentally set us up with a really interesting idea.
It's like a Reptar on ice, but better.
But nothing is as good as Reptar on Ice. Let's move on from the ice skating of it all and talk about some Fifth Harmony here. We've got 20% of Fifth Harmony, or I guess 25%, since I think that one person left
a few months ago. Yeah,
25% now. Normani Corday and Val are here together. Angela, give me your thoughts on this pairing.
I love Val. Val's great. Honestly, this will be fine. Yes. This will be something that, like, when Rumor Willis came on, you know, like somebody who, like, nobody has any stake in whatsoever, but is clearly, has like a performance ability. You know, like, I think that even when he was with Ginger, you know, like somebody who, you know, he can really work with and really mold, but nobody knows who this is. Like, Fifth Harmony is, if not a B-list group, like an A-minus group. You know, they're not somebody who everybody... I don't know any of their songs. I just know who they are because they're in popular culture. Mm-hmm. So I think that she will... I mean, I've seen pictures of her. She looks beautiful. Like, she's clearly a singer. And like I've seen videos of their songs and she can move. So I think that... they will do really well because it's Val and that he has somebody that isn't like a total joke pairing.
Yeah, I mean, Val's done nice for himself. He just came off of a win here. Kelly, do you feel like part of the partnering reason here was because he had just won? And I don't want to say they're handicapping him, but they're saying, you know, let's not give him another slam dunk opportunity two seasons in a row.
Well, I don't think this is at all hindering him. I think this is actually a top contender. You know, she's not one of the top two, but in this season, in any other season, she might have been. This is just a weird season. Val, I always wonder why they keep giving Val these really young people. There's nothing about him to me that suggests he'd be particularly good with a young person the way that, say, Mark Ballas would have been. He's my favorite pro of the whole lot. I adore Val. I think he works incredibly hard, first of all. And so he always pushes people to be better than they think they can be, which I think that's going to be the key here, because I think Normani's going to come in and she's going to have at least your basics, right? She's a performer.
For sure, yeah.
She's a physical performer.
And she's young.
Exactly.
She's got a lot of skills.
I could see her getting easily distracted, those sort of issues, and you know, getting on social media, that sort of thing, and Val's going to nip that in the bud right away. I'm also interested in the demographics of who watches Dancing with the Stars and who votes for it, because I also don't know anything about Fifth Harmony, but I hear a buzz around them. And I know that they're like a very young female group. And so I wonder if they do have a huge social media presence and if that's going to really impact the voting in a way that, say, like the Backstreet Boys didn't. Because as much as I love them, I'm not going to vote even just because AJ tells me to. But I think there are people who, there are probably 14-year-old girls who would vote because someone in Fifth Harmony told her to. So I think that, and combined with, I think it's a huge advantage to have Val. I think he's just the best.
Oh, yeah, it's like he's a shoe-in type of, like, thing.
Yeah. He's I always say we're about to talk about his brother. And Max is sort of probably the biggest, if other than Derek, maybe the biggest pro star to come out of Dancing with the Stars. But Val, I always say, is everything you get with Max, you get with Val, except that he's nicer and he doesn't think as highly of himself because he's the little brother and he learned everything he learned from Max. But then he improved
upon
it.
So he follows the rules and he, like,
exactly. He doesn't talk back. Yeah.
Yeah, his people are always excelling and they're always improving, but they're never, you know, like Val is never getting yelled at by the judges. You know, Max is getting, like, reprimanded by even Tom. Like, oh, okay, let's go to commercial. Like,
well, I guess
go ahead.
Well, I guess we will see if Normani, who's sort of an X Factor coming in, we'll see if really anything can happen.
Aren't they from the X Factor?
Exactly. That's the joke.
I'm dumb.
Don't know even enough about them to know to get that joke.
Well, maybe we should. That's actually a perfect segue into a character who her biggest feature on TV might be playing a dumb character on Fox's Glee. Heather Morris, paired with Max.
AKA winner of Dance with the Stars.
Kelly, you got a lot. I have a feeling you got a lot to say about this one, so I'm going to give you the floor.
This makes me so mad. So mad. Like, I was mad enough when they cast Meryl Davis with Max just to give him a free win because he'd never won before because she's an ice dancer.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And that was a slam dunk. Heather Morris is literally a professional dancer. At this point, what are we even doing here, people? She went on tour with Beyonce. Her first, if you go to her Wikipedia, the very first thing it says is that she almost made it to the finals in So You Think You Can Dance Season 2, which was Alison Holker's season, who is a pro on Dancing with the Stars. This is so rough. Like, she was on Glee for many, many seasons, and she couldn't sing. Her whole purpose on Glee was that she was a dancer. She taught them all how to do the single ladies dance. Like, she's literally a professional dancer. This is,
and, like, I could
so
watch her
maddening.
Dance any day of the week because she's so
exactly
amazing.
she's incredible and she's charming and wonderful and, like, but when they had Amber Riley on this show, who has some professional dance experience, obviously having been on Glee, she's worked with Zach Woodley for years, but she was a singer who was cast on that show and then was taught to, or then had to dance on the show. Heather Morris was a dancer who had to sing on the show. And so this is completely unfair. So I'm kind of hoping that there's a little bit of a fan revolt and people refuse to vote for her just because I want someone like Simone or Normani or whomever and Nancy Kerrigan, I want them to have a shot. And there is just no way anyone has a shot against Heather Morris.
But I mean, yeah, you're right. And I think that it sucks because, like, I love Heather Morris and I'm super excited to see her because I just want to see her dance on television again. Like, mm-hmm. I just want her to be on my TV. But at the same time, you're right. Yeah, and I'm sure the dances are just going to be exactly what they show on Good Morning America every morning. It's going to be like, whoa, last night on Dancing with the Stars, you know, here's Heather Morris killing it again. You know, like, it's always going to, they always want to show that dance that's, like, just so amazing. Like, it was always Derek's freestyle and like, the Val, like, episode where, like, he comes to Jesus. You know, it's always, like, his, like, turnaround. You know? So I think that that's what they're going for there is that, you know, while she is a professional dancer and it's extremely and ridiculously unfair, you know, they want good dances to come out of this as well. Mm. So I wonder if that's, or maybe they're priming her to be a pro, you know.
That would be really interesting.
The whole thing with Dancing with the Stars, though, is that it's not So You Think You Can Dance, right? Like, on So You Think You Can Dance, we expect professional dancers. And so, honestly, when they come out and they do a good job, I sort of go, okay, cool. That's not interesting to me because you have to do, you know, we see brilliant professional dancers dancing well all the time. That's what the troupe is there for. So Dancing with the Stars, the power of things like Derek's amazing freestyle with Kelly Pickler, for example, which was just one of the like iconic dances. The whole thing was that she was a country singer and we knew her from American Idol and we didn't know that she could dance. And neither really did she. Like, she sort of knew she could dance, but she didn't know she could dance the way that Derek could make her dance. And watching that journey and watching her unlock that in herself was what was compelling. And Heather Morris is going to walk in on day one and show Max how to do it. And right. maybe and there's like, going to be some drama there.
Like, he knows, like...
Oh, yeah, that drives me crazy, too. Why yeah. I like... I didn't mind Max on the panel. I love Julianne on the panel. But you can't then move them back into the field. Once you move out of the field onto the judging panel, even then we're dealing with the sort of weirdness of he's judging his brother and she's judging her like first dance partner and that sort of thing. But you can't go backwards because it's just, I don't even know. This show is completely unfair anyway. So I don't know why I'm complaining.
While we were researching it, we did come across that she did just have another baby. So I wonder if that's a like going to be a hindrance for her that she, I mean,
it's not going to hinder PETA.
It's not going to hinder PETA, but I mean, like, they might try and play that up a little bit to sort of bring her down, you know, a peg or two, but you're right. I mean, it's all just going to be crazy.
Yeah. I mean, the two things that I feel like Heather herself might have going against her is, I mean, the judges might grade her against the curve. I mean, I'm thinking of, like, when Corbin Bleu was on, and, like, he also came in as a dancer.
He thought it was going to be, like, super easy, though, and, like, they were really hard on him. So,
they might, you know, grade her on a different level than even some of these other people that you just talked about, Kelly. And the other thing is that, you know, there are some Glee fans out there, but Glee also ended, like, 2 years ago. I don't know how many of them are flocking back to their TVs to watch Heather Morris, but that's almost counteracted by the Max fan base, which, again, I don't really watch the show that in-depth, but I can assume is pretty magnanimous at this point. So you would feel that even if she didn't have that much of a popular amassing, that the fans of Max would at least want to vote for them.
Yeah.
Well, it depends, though, because Max is sort of one of the icons of the show, but he hasn't been around very consistently in the last few seasons. So if you're someone like Angela and myself who have sort of taken some time off and then come back, you're really feeling very strongly about Val and Sharna and even Whitney and Lindsay, like these people who are there every single year. Max sort of dips his toe in, he guest judges 1 week, and then he'll do sort of he did one half season with Amber Rose, and that's sort of all we've seen since he won with Meryl Davis. So he's actually not a regular anymore.
I was just going to say his voting likability is also probably pretty low, just because I think that when people vote, they vote for, you know, the people that make them feel the best, and Max doesn't always do that. So I think that another reason that he might not get the votes is just because people feel like, oh, it's Max, he'll get votes. You know, it's that sort of like somebody else would be voting for him, so why would I vote for him? And I mean, this is like a hot take, but I don't vote on Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
I forget. Honestly, it's like, it's so hard to watch. It's such a, like, not hard to watch, but it's like when, after you've watched it, it's pretty late at night. It's, I mean, you know, Grandma Bloom over here, but I think that, you know, it's like when somebody does go to vote, they're voting out of like, I want this person to keep going. You know, they're passionate about it. And Max doesn't, I don't think anymore have that in him. Like, I don't think people feel that way about him. So they're happy he's there, but they don't really care if he stays because he'll be around.
Yeah, there's a lot of underdog voting. So you don't want to vote for Max, really.
Well, speaking of underdogs, let's talk about someone who is affiliated with a pretty big underdog story this year in baseball. The Chicago Cubs finally won a World Series, breaking a curse, and I guess they sent a representative, an envoy, onto Dancing with the Stars in the form of the recently retired David Ross with Lindsay Arnold. He's the oldest player to ever hit a home run in the World Series, which is, he's only 39, so that says what the baseball world is like. And he's also the first baseball player to ever compete on Dancing with the Stars. Angela, do you think the first outing for the MLB is going to be a good one here on the show?
No. that was really set up well, so I just had to say no. But I don't watch sports, like, shocker. I don't follow them really. My wife Haley Strong would be very upset with me right now, but I think that baseball isn't the most danceable of the sports. So, I mean, they're not training to be light on their feet.
Hey, have you ever seen Damn Yankees?
That's so true. Such a great musical.
There's no Damn Giants. There's no football musical.
Okay, relax. I think that he won't be terrible, but he's not going to win. He's not going to go far. I don't know who he is. So, I mean, I may be like talking a little bit out of turn, but I'm excited that he's here because I do feel like that's cool to like have a baseball player on the show. He's also not a, he's not like a retired baseball player. He's somebody who has, you know, been playing recently. So I think that is good for him as well. He's like kept up with health and like exercise, and he's probably pretty, current in that sense. So, and I also wonder, I mean, Lindsay Arnold, I don't know much about her. She was only on I don't think that she is one of the people that I've followed really. So, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about him. I'm excited to see what happens, but I just also don't really care about him.
Kelly, do you care about David Ross more than my wife does?
Well, I care about Lindsay. I mean, she's not the most, she's not one of the sort of top tier women in my opinion, but she's a really good pro.
She's a great dancer.
She's an amazing dancer. She's a really good choreographer. She's really not afraid of tricks, which when she's given an athlete often comes into play because you saw her with Megatron last year. Mm-hmm. She had someone really strong, and so she sort of lets them throw her around, and she's really brave. She's pretty middle of the pack just because I don't think she really stirs fans to vote for her. But I do actually think you see a lot of improvement in her contestants. The issue is, I think David Ross is going to flame out so hard.
He's going to get over it so fast.
He's going to be so bad. You're right. I think he's not going to enjoy himself very much. I don't think it's going to be that much fun. But I also think baseball is just the least compatible sport with dancing in the world. Like it's not a very mobile sport, first of all. Like they run around the bases, and if you play center field, you have to do some running, but that's basically it. There's none of the sort of verve and footwork and energy of football. Baseball's a lot of statistics, a lot of physics, and a lot of just sort of static motion and knee bending. And I just don't see this working for David at all.
Well, and I think, Angela, you talked about how, he just recently came out of baseball, so he's still active. But I think the problem with having a catcher on is because where do you always see a catcher? Squatting. And his knees
must be like...
He probably
has terrible knees.
Oh, yeah, they must be ground down to, like, rubble at this point. So, I mean, God knows what those rehearsals are going to be like. I could definitely see him being over it immediately if he's like, I've been dancing for 20 minutes and my knees are killing me. I need a break, or I just need to leave right now.
Yeah, and I think I think that Lindsay, first of all, she's going to be pushing him because she's a really great pro. But she also, personality-wise, is just very run-of-the-mill. Like, she's a nice person, but she... she doesn't bring a lot when it comes to like the reality TV of it all. She's a great pro and she does her job and she's like entertaining in a sense. But I think that if he at all gives her just sort of some like snottiness or just like isn't into it, isn't feeling it, I almost think that she just sort of lets that slide because she doesn't really want the drama. So I think that slide. Oh, Sunday recording.
You kill me every time.
Yeah, so I just married you. I'm not out on him, but again, he's not the one I'm watching for. That's for sure.
Well, let's talk about someone that we might be watching for, though I think it's dependent on how many weeks we'll be watching him for. Mr. T and Mrs. Herjavec, Kim Johnson. I pity the fool who does not know who Mr. T is. He's most prominently known for his role as B.A. Baracus on the A-Team. He was also in Rocky III as well, but he's sort of become almost a meme or a parody
of
himself.
He's a pop culture icon for sure.
He's definitely become like more of a meme or a parody of himself at this point. I mean, he was doing like AT&T commercials like 10 years ago. He's 64 years old, second oldest person in this cast. Kelly, does Mr. T stand any chance of making it out the first few weeks?
Oh, no. No.
But it'll be real good while he's there.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, first of all, what is Mr. T's personality? Like, I know what his shtick is, but what is he like? Has he been on a reality show before? Do we know what he's like?
He actually had his own reality show called I Pity the Fool in TV Land. I did not get to check that out. I'm assuming he has a little bit of a softer side to him, but I'm pretty sure, again, this goes back to him sort of becoming a parody of himself at this point. Everything he performs to the camera is very gruff and tough. So if he has to produce sound bites, they're going to be with that persona put on top of it.
Yeah, and I do feel like his just sort of body type as well isn't setting him up for success either. I mean, he's 64 now, but even back in the day, he was very bulky, very like just sort of a heavy, grounded person. So I think that, you know, when it comes to dancing, you do need to be light on your feet. You do need to have just sort of movability and some flexibility. And I just don't see that in him. And now that he's even older than what he was then, I imagine it's worse. So I don't think that even someone, you know, like Kim Johnson, who's, you know, a star, like she's famous for, you know, just being a really great pro to work with. I think that she's just sort of there for, you know, the few weeks that he's there. And I think that she's one of those people that actually prefers it that way, because at this point for her, she doesn't really need Dancing with the Stars anymore. You know, she's pretty well, she's fine like life-wise, but I mean, even just for her, she's been there for quite some time. You know, it's like almost like the Derek of it all, where it's like she doesn't necessarily want to compete, but when asked, she'll be there and she'll be present. And then, you know, if she gets out early, it's not like she'll cry like Val would or Max would.
Well, it's interesting. She hasn't been back for quite a few seasons. So yeah. We'll see if she's out of practice or if she's when some of the older pros come back. It's interesting to see them try and compete with people like, I think Lindsay's like 22. So it's interesting to see them
she's
come
like
back
brand new, you know?
Yeah. And well, and she's been on the show for a few years, but she started at like 18. So at this point, she's like, only something like 22, 23. So it's sort of an interesting dynamic to see some of the older pros who were around for seasons 1, 2, 3, Kim's and Irina's and even Cheryl Burke last season come back and basically face a whole new show.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point to make as well, because the judging is different now. The mm-hmm. dynamics with the hosts are different now. They changed the setup of the show. So I think that is all in the advantage of people that have been there more recently, because you sort of know what to play up and what to play down. Whereas in the past, I think that it was much less about the showmanship and much more about the individual dance moves and the structure of the moves and the footwork and all of that. And I mean, they still do point those things out, but they almost point them out just to point something out. Whereas the judges got a lot of flack for being too hard on the contestants, and they've pulled back, you know? So I think that's something that she may struggle with, where she's trying to make Mr. T do the moves when, you know, the judges are more so rewarding just a show. You know?
Yeah, I mean, look no further to see how the show has kind of evolved than what I feel like has sort of been the progress of Bruno Toglioli as the judge, where like he started off as like a little wacky but relatively grounded. Now he's a literal Looney Tune jumping off the walls.
I love the looniness.
I love him. Yeah.
it's fun, but it's just like it's insane to watch sometimes, especially comparing to like what he was like even 5 years ago.
Yeah, he just starts screaming that he loves somebody if they do well. Like it has nothing to do with their dancing. Whereas Mr. T, I think it's just going to be like if Mr. T at all has any sort of muscles, that's all Bruno's going to talk about. You know, I think that Len is going to be like, oh, you need to work on your footwork and whatever. You know, I think that, you know, what I said before is probably what's going to happen. But I'd be happy to see him be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a feeling he's going to be very large and very stiff, but hopefully he's able to be at least a little flexible. That would push him forward. If not, you know, maybe, as you know, Angela alluded to, there's an older crowd out there that recognizes Mr. T and decides to vote him through purely on nostalgic factor alone.
I think Charo has more of that, though, because she was more of like a pleasant person in the pop culture, where Mr. T is kind of like an aggressive meme. I don't think Grandma knows who Mr. T is, but she definitely knows who Charo is.
Okay, so maybe I think we need to keep referring back to your grandmother, sort of the metric.
It's also so funny because my mom's maiden name is Michael, so Grandma Michael, but like your name is Michael, so it's gonna be confusing.
It's all interconnected now. To check in with Michael and Grandma Michael, I think that would be a good to like refer to the casuals.
The Michaels.
Let's move on to our last but certainly not least team. I know you both have opinions on this man. Our current bachelor, soon to be ex-bachelor, considering the finale is coming up in a couple days from now, Nick Vile and PETA Heavens to Murgatroyd. Kelly, give me your thoughts on seeing Nick here.
Oh my God, I have so many thoughts about Nick. So first of all, and what this sort of goes in with what you were saying about the judges just a second ago and this idea that it's become more about the show as it's gone on. My opinion on Nick, I loved him so much in Andy's season and then loved him a lot in Caitlin's season and liked him on Paradise and like him a little bit less this year. I still love him. I think he's wonderful. I think his villain edit in the Andy season was one of the most brutal things an editor has ever done to anyone. But what I think is the reason I'm sort of a little bit down on him is he has really leaned into this television thing. And you know, he got the haircut and the tan and he's just, if you go back and you look at even just photos of him on Andy's season, he's a totally different person.
Yeah, he's
and
a normal human.
He's a totally normal human on Andy's season.
And that's why America loved him on Andy's season, because he was like the Midwest guy of your dreams.
Did America love him? I feel like everybody hated him because the edit told them to.
No? I don't know. Everyone I spoke to liked Nick on Andy's season. Nick on Andy's season, didn't like him on Caitlin's season, and then re-fell in love with him on Bachelor in Paradise, and now they're like, what's going on with Nick? What's happening in his brain?
My understanding is that the narrative has been more like everybody hate, and Nick's been a villain since day one. There was so much like, there was that scene in Andy's season where Chris Soules just yelled, was drunk and just yelled at Nick for no reason. Like,
amazing.
There's a lot of anti-Nick sentiment, but and it's gone in sort of the opposite direction as my opinion of him, because as he's learned to play the game and do the sort of things that you have to do in order to avoid or in order to win over sort of mass culture, I felt like I can't see him as clearly, and that's one of my big things, is I like to be able to see people for who they really are. So now you're seeing him do a lot of things, like give the producers exactly what they want. So I could see him sort of trying really hard to win the audience over, doing a little bit of mugging, that sort of thing. I don't necessarily think he's going to be a very good dancer. And something that's interesting to note is that PETA, who is his partner, was, and this will be a little bit different because now PETA is engaged with a kid and all that kind of stuff, but PETA was Sean Lowe's partner. And
correct.
They were dramatic. Like, they didn't really get along at all. And more specifically, she really didn't get along with Catherine. She wasn't invited to the wedding.
Yeah, she didn't like Catherine, yeah.
Which happened right after. And Sean even came out very recently and said, I don't really think that The Bachelor should do Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, I read
because
this.
I don't
yeah.
think you should do it for as a newly engaged person. And I mean, I'm not sure that Nick's going to end up with anyone at the end of the season, but if
we're all like on our,
right?
We're not sure.
Yeah. I don't know that this is the best move. I mean, if it's Raven, she'll be chill about it. Can you imagine Vanessa sitting on the sidelines of this and putting up with hot PETA, having her hands all over her fiance?
Yeah. That's the thing, is that you're spending almost close to 13 hours a day with another human that isn't your fiance that you just got engaged to.
Very, very physical stuff too, right?
Yeah, like you're and PETA is not going to shy away from being, intimate with another dancer to win, you know? So I think that, you know, and Max clearly and PETA are, you know, engaged and they have children, they have a child. And I think that is in Nick's favor. I think that in the past, you know, while with Sean Lowe, it was more of a personality clash with her and Catherine. I think that for Nick, it will be good because PETA is a new mom. I think that will tone down the sex of it all. Whereas, I mean, with Chris Soules, like he was just like, Chris Soules was a fame whore. And I think that he ended up with Whitney, clearly didn't feel any like, didn't really want to be with her in the long run. And he went on this show and she was barely ever there, which was like huge red flag. And then cause she had a life and she went back to it. And, you know, I think that's going to be sort of an interesting thing to follow after The Bachelor, is to see how Nick does, with whoever he ends up with. I think that,
I mean, I'm not sure Mike has any indication of who Vanessa is, but
she's Canadian.
She is Canadian. Yeah. But that's a big thing too, because he's not from Canada and they've gotten into fights about where they want to live after this. And she's like, I don't really want to move. You know, so I don't think that if he ends up with her that she will be very apt to come visit him on this or to, you know, to really support him in it. And I think that will thus end their relationship. But I also wonder if he ends up with her, like if my whole theory about Nick this season is that he is so apt to bow to what the producers want him to do, mm-hmm. that he is going to end up with a producer pick, and that he's going to
say he ends up with a producer.
Well, maybe, but he ends up with a producer pick, and that they last maybe through the summer, and then he leaves them for Corinne. Like, I just mm-hmm. feel like he loved Corinne. Like, you could tell they were like perfect, and even though she's crazy and she's high maintenance, like he loves that, you know. So, and they had such a good connection. I feel like whether or not Corinne or somebody else, like he's gonna end up with a producer pick, and it's not gonna work out.
I can't wait until it cuts into the studio audience, and sitting next to each other are Jeff Galooly and Corinne's nanny. That's really the who's who. the who's who with a nice plated cheese pasta.
Cheesy pasta.
So I guess speaking outside of the Bachelor drama that might occur, though, I mean, Kelly, this is a guy who just came off of ABC's biggest franchise and literally just came off. This season will premiere a week after Nick finishes up his season of The Bachelor. Do you think
he's already finished.
Well, yeah, I guess the finishes airing in that perspective. Yes. Do you think he's going to get a bump, though, from the audience because he's immediately recognizable from an ABC perspective?
I don't know. It is all about the ABC synergy. You know, Bachelor and Dancing with the Stars share a time slot. They 100% of the year has one of those two shows on. And there is a history of having a Bachelor star on Dancing with the Stars and sort of going around in a circle like that. Weirdly, they tend to be on in the spring season right after The Bachelor, and The Bachelorette doesn't do it for the winter season. But I don't know. I don't know that Nick really inspires that much fandom, really. You know, I'm sure
Sean... Yeah,
I don't think
people are going to care.
Yeah, frankly, I don't think they're going to care. I don't think that it's
unless
as much...
Unless he's a good dancer.
Exactly.
Like, unless he's good and PETA and him are, like, making cool dances, then people will be on his team.
Can Nick get trained by the Backstreet Boys? I know they made an appearance on this season.
Well, I was going to bring that up, actually, because he, while he was dancing with the Backstreet Boys, like, he wasn't terrible. Like, he could move a little bit. So I feel like he's not a dancer at all in any means, but I don't think that he's untrainable. So I wonder, I mean, that could be the way this goes, is that everyone is so on PETA's side right now. Her whole... you know, news stories recently about having a baby and what happens to your body and that you shouldn't be ashamed of that and things like that have been so, you know, so strongly received by especially, like, I think women in America that, you know, she partnering with Nick, it's, you know, I think that people will see her more than they see him. So I'm not even sure it matters.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I don't think PETA has been historically known as a fan favorite, but I do think right now is PETA's moment. You know, last time we saw her, she won. Then she took a year off to have a baby with another pro, which is and a very popular pro at that. So, like, I think she really and you're right with the she's coming out in terms of, like, very body positive and feminism and all these sort of things. I think she's really at the height of her popularity, and she is known as a very sort of outspoken, tough woman. Physically, she's just like a beast. She can lift anything and take on anything, and she's kind of fearless. And I think that those are things that Nick will really respond to. He sort of very famously loves strong women. Or at least he likes to say that. So
he does like to say that. Yeah. And I mean, proof's in the pudding there. All the women that he's ever chosen or been with or, you know, been a suitor for have been strong, outspoken women.
Yeah, they've all been tough and outspoken. Exactly. So, and they've all been the people who push him, and he responds well to that. And those are not qualities I sort of maybe associate them a little bit with Sean, but I definitely don't associate them with Chris. So I'm going to say of the male Bachelor contestants who've been on Dancing with the Stars, I could see Nick being the best of them, but understanding that that's a really low bar.
Yeah, and also just understanding that that could go the other way as well, because I think that we're also very blind to you know, what he can do, because his performance up until this point has been on the Bachelor franchise, which is a different kind of reality television performance. Like, you don't need to, like, you don't need to have really a lot of any skill, and you don't need to practice. You just need to be there and, you know, give good sound bites. So I think that, you know, while he is familiar with the cameras and how it all works and ABC and all that, I mean, he could easily just, like, crash and burn on, you know, not being able to convert to a more structured reality TV show where the results oriented is more important than the funny soundbite.
And life might throw him off.
So from Biles to Vile, we have talked about all the teams competing on this season of Dancing with the Stars. To finish things up, I want to get from each of you a pick for the first boot and a pick for the winner of this season. Angela, let's start with you.
I'm going to go with first boot of Mr. T. I think that he will fail. I mean, I think that, you know, he could do well. Honestly, it was between him and Charo, and I like Charo more, so I just went with Mr. T. So that's where I'm at with my first boot. It's a much harder decision for my win. I think that this is going to be like a hot take, and I think Kelly's going to hate me, but I want to go with Heather Morris. I just really like her as a human. So I think that I will be rooting for her to rise above the backlash of being a dancer. I mean, it was either between her or Simone, and I was hoping maybe we'll have some, I want the drama on our podcast. So I'm picking Heather. I'm sticking to it.
All right, there we go.
First
boot, Mr. T. Winner, Miss M. All right, Kelly, give me your thoughts about first boot and winner.
Okay, so first boot, I'm leaning towards Mr. T as well, but just to be different, I'm going to say David Ross. I actually think he's going to go, like, third place, but it's going to depend on how well the Charo and Mr. T fans mobilize. I don't know anything about the Cubs, but I'm going to say that with the Dancing with the Stars audience, they're bigger names, Charo and Mr. T. So I'm going to say David Ross, even though I think he'll probably go about third. For winner, I totally agree with you. I think it seems crazy to think that anyone other than Heather Morris is going to win this season. Although I said that about Maya a few seasons ago, and she didn't do that well. But so I'm going to go, and I don't think it's going to be two gymnasts in a row. I don't think it's going to be two Val seasons in a row. So I'm going to just go out on a limb and say something that probably isn't going to happen, but I have a weird instinct. I'm going to say Nancy Kerrigan and Artem.
Ooh.
I like that. Right? I would be so stoked if that were to happen, because I feel like she's not the young spring chicken. You know, people are going to be like, happy to see her because they know her, but that's exciting.
And I think she has probably one of the biggest quote-unquote stories coming in, so like you never know. I mean, I feel like Bindi Irwin certainly came in with a story a little while ago, and she definitely pooped herself, but I mean she had one of the bigger stories coming in.
Bindi. Her
the
personality.
Whole, like, the whole Irwin family, I'm obsessed with. I was watching her little brother talk about animals on a TV show with Jimmy Fallon, and I watched the whole thing twice. So obsessed with them.
Oh my God. The Irwins are so cute. But I also, the thing I loved about Bindi was that my favorite thing on this show, especially watching it season after season, is finding the stars that unlock certain things in their pro. And Derek had always been sort of a total game bot, total machine, knows exactly how to play the game, where to smile when, and all that kind of stuff, and how to best showcase his people. And Bindi just came along and totally unlocked him. And all of a sudden, he was kind of a goopy mess. And he loved her so much. And it was so sweet. And so I'm wondering who in this season is going to be that person who makes me totally rethink a pro that I've not necessarily gotten before. I'm kind of hoping it's Heather, actually. I'm hoping that her personality really shines through and really unlocks Max. And we all stop caring that she's at such a ridiculous advantage.
That's what I want. I just want people to, like, I personally want to see her sort of rise above like the backlash of her being a dancer. I just want her to like go in there and like do it for her. And I want to see like some sort of transformational process like that doesn't have anything to do with dancing almost.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if I have to make picks here as
yes,
well.
Yes, you do. Oh, yeah.
I won't get away scot-free here. I'm going to go first boot. I love me some Charo, but as a septuagenarian, I have a feeling she might not make it out through the first few weeks. And I do think that Mr. T and David are probably the most too likely to go first, but I'll throw Charo in there as well just to keep things different. And I know we don't want two gymnasts in a row, and this most likely will not happen, but this is a thing that I want to happen. I'm going to pick Simone for my winner just because she has the skill set and I love her personality, and hopefully that shines through on the ballroom. So
I think it could happen too. I think Simone's set up for success. I just think that we're being relatively careful about the optics of it all, you know, whether or not they'll allow that to happen, quote
unquote. We're also almost thinking in terms of scripted, right? Because in reality, things happen back to back all the time for basically no reason. It's not that predictable, but almost we approach it from a story point of view and we're like, well, we don't want to see two gymnasts back to back then, so we're going to spread it out.
Yeah, that's very true. And as we know, you know, reality might defy fiction sometimes. So those are our first boots and our winner picks. We'll lock them in. We'll see what happens. And I'll say on behalf of all of us that I think the group is very excited to be talking about Dancing with the Stars when it premieres next week. We're still a little TBD on when that coverage is going to come in the week and how often it's going to be recurring. But that being said, we want to hear from you guys out there as to your own thoughts on Dancing with the Stars, who you think might go far. If you want to hear more coverage, that'd be great too. Do you both want to plug social media and anything else you might be working on? Kelly, let's start with you.
Yeah, so I'm the managing editor of myentertainmentworld.ca, Canadian. So you can find me on Twitter at myentworld, so ENT like entertainment, myentworld. And that's where I tweet. It's the company Twitter, but it's always me, and I'm tweeting out tons of, I do weekly Survivor rankings and lots of reality show thoughts. I'll do a lot of Dancing with the Stars kind of coverage. That's sort of where you can find me in terms of social media. I don't do Instagram, Snapchat, and all that, but and certainly you can check out all of my coverage at the site at myentertainmentworld.ca.
Yes, please do. Angela, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at AngPalaggi. So it's AngPalaggi. And I'm also on Instagram, same handle. My dog is on Instagram, and you should definitely follow her. We'll probably discuss her at ad nauseum on this podcast. This coming week, I don't know if this has been announced yet, but I'll be appearing on the finale podcast with Haley Strong and Amy on The Bachelor. So I'm pretty excited about that.
It was a nice warm-up talking about Nick there at the end.
Oh, yeah, it was. I know I've been contemplating him for a while now about what I'm going to talk about. I'm just so excited to talk about it with them because it's just like such a weird season. And then I, at some point, will also be recording with Ali Lasher to discuss the finale of Are You the One? But other than that, I'll be here.
Awesome. And you can follow me, as always, at A Mike Bloom Type on Twitter. If you haven't checked it out yet, I did a series premiere podcast about the Fox reality show Kicking and Screaming with Haley Strong and Kirsten McInnes. We were actually very surprised about how much we enjoyed it, so definitely check that out. It's a really fun show. I'll also be coming to you, speaking of previews, with a preview of RuPaul's Drag Race new season with,
yes,
Brent Mulgamott and Liana Boris. Angela is very excited, a fellow RuPaul's Drag Race fan. So check that out, as well as the other great stuff going on here on reality TV wrap ups. Big Brother Canada 5 is premiering this week, so the coverage is definitely ramping up there. The Challenge, Are You the One? It's all here in one place. Make sure you're locked in. Go to reality TV wrap ups on iTunes and make sure you're subscribed there. Leave us a rating and review as well. Be nice and kind. I figured.
Be
nice and kind. Just a general advice to the world as well as reviews. To finish things off, I'll ask you out there, if you want to tweet at us, use a hashtag team and use whatever name of the celebrity you want to for the person you're rooting
for.
Yeah,
I like that.
So Team Erica, Team Charo, etc. Because we want to hear from you guys, especially those that might be more sports inclined than the rest of us.
Oh yeah, definitely. We will need that for our future podcasts.
And there will be future podcasts. And let us know your thoughts on this podcast as well. I want to thank you both for coming on. I'm very excited to see what you guys are going to do with Dancing with the Stars. And I'm very excited for this season coming up. It is sure to be a hoot no matter what goes on, considering the cast that we have in front of us. So that's going to do it for this podcast. We will talk to you guys very soon. Thanks so much again. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.